We are trying to understand the Mishnah of Rav Masya ben Chorosh Oimer. Rabbi Magdim v'sholom kol odom. Rabbi son of the Arayus v'al tiyaroish v'lishu olim. Tov. So last time I think we were able to get a little bit into the understanding, what does it mean? Shai l'sholom. We had a bit of understanding what Shai l'sholom was all about.
Yeah.
Were you here? 2 weeks ago.
Well, I heard.
Well, that's it. That's it.
Did we mention that? Well, that's what Shalom is. Giving Shalom.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Right now, we would like to just complete that discussion by filling in the two other parts of this first part of the Mishnah. We want to know why there's an emphasis on Kol Odom, and we want to know what's the emphasis being Magdi. If we're interested in the worlds and conclusions, so it's an interchange. It's a relationship. That's a two-way street. So, like, what's the difference where it starts? It's the main thing is that it happens, and it happens positively. It happens in the proper form. But there's one time this one does it, the other time that one does it. I mean, what's the heavy magnum chol? So we'll start with the Kol Olam. Kol Olam, the Gemara tells us, includes Kol Adam, everybody, unlimited. There are two Gemaras. One talks about Kol Adam including Rishoyim, and one Gemara talks about Kol Adam including Goyim. There's absolutely nobody that can go in any way, shape, or form under the title of Adam that this doesn't apply to.
Russian.
Yeah.
No.
If you meet him first, you say shalom, then you kill him. No. Now, there's a problem. Ein shalom rishoyim. Amar Hashem. There's a problem. If we were talking about worlds in collision, if we were talking about the relationship, there are people that we're really not interested in relating to. In fact, the ultimate relationship with these people is to eliminate them. Or to keep away from them. Or to be uninvolved. And there were many, many tikkunos chazal that were to set up barriers between Tzaddikim and Rishoyim, certainly between a Yid and a Goy. But tremendous efforts are made that a proper distance, a healthy distance, is kept between Jews and Goy. We find that all the way in the beginning of Klal Yisrael, there was one Jewess that seemed to have been Mekayim this Mishnah. Things didn't work out very well. There was Shulamis Bas Divri, and she went around saying Shalom all day, so we call it Shulamis. And she said Shalom to the Goyim that were inflicting her husband, and she ended up getting raped and having a child by the Goy. And she is mentioned in Chazal as a chasor. As a chasor. And this is, she went outside the proper limitations, the proper restrictions that Tznia should have. She had no business having such a free relationship, positive relationship with those that are not roi l'kach. There's a famous saying which, not quite sure who really made it up. It's very good. It says that when a Yid stops making Kiddush, the Goyis make Avdolah.
I heard the name of
Yeah, I heard the name of a lot of people. I'm not sure who was the original one who made it up. But whoever it is, it's a really good one. You know, somebody big. And I think there's a lot of big people who heard it and liked it and said it over. So I'm not sure when the worst first one is. I may go back as far as Moshe Rabbeinu. But I doubt it. I really don't know. It doesn't matter. It's good. We'll take it for its own value. So at least it's a little unclear. So,
we could add that to
Juice
after making Kiddush in front of his couch.
Unfortunately, it's usually a Jew in these kinds. We mentioned, I think, in the beginning, that Rav Asi ben Chorosh lived in Rome. He was a Tana, he was an international politician. He was somebody who was involved in the government relationship between the Jewish people and the government in control of the world at the time. Following that, it leaves us a little bit unclear about what exactly is the message and what are the rules of Hevi Magdim Sholohim. I'll call all them. There's a Ben Yonah here, it's one of his famous one-liners that you read and say, oh, he didn't say anything, what's next? So one second, then why did he write it if he didn't say anything? So what did he say? You know? So he gives us a one-liner over here. And I have a feeling that if we can understand a little bit about what the Ben Yonah means to tell us, we may get a better picture of this sugya. So here it is. Hevi Magdim Sholom Mechol Odom. So the Ben Yonah has three words to say in the subject. Vehu Miderech Hamusa. That's it, folks.
Say it again?
Yeah. I said it a lot of times. I still understand it. Vehu Miderech Hamusa.
I think it's got an inkling, I think.
Yeah.
That I'm going to fake it till you make it concept.
What?
Fake it till you make it concept. In other words, fake it till you make it. In other words, that you
catching.
What you call it. It's the same type thing as you learn to lolishma, to balishma, right?
That's not fake it till you make it.
What?
It's not fake it till you make it.
Yes,
no, yeah, it is. You do it this way because doing it the correct way is that way.
Yeah,
so
but that's not fake.
You keep doing this until it'll arrive at the
an external behavior that pretends as if you were that tzaddik inside of everyone, the external will actually influence your internal.
And then with this.
This is a serious mistake that I'd like to correct.
Okay.
A very dangerous mistake.
It's
sure. Yeah, probably. This is one of my favorite mistakes to correct.
Oh, yeah.
Which mistake?
The
kind of Lishma is fake.
The concept of Chitzayin is being mashpia on Chitzayin on premius, or on doing Maisim on a lower level, or ordering Maisim on a higher level, or Kasaponim, or many other forms of avodosam mechanchosam. Doing it gets you there. Self-fulfilling prophecies. So there are two ways to understand it, like in most things in the world, the wrong way and the right way. And the wrong way is very, very dangerous. So
it's fake to me.
That's it. That's a perfect way to say it. Right. What's the problem? The problem is, that's nothing. That's even very bad.
I don't mean that it's fake.
That's the problem. That's exactly the problem. It doesn't matter what you meant. I'm sure what you meant is right. But since you used the word, so we're going to take the opportunity to correct the mistake again.
Okay.
Right. Because the way it was being used sort of bothered me. It does relate to what we're trying to say over here, you know, or what we need over here. Just in short, the concept is as follows. Right? We'll take it in the easiest place to hear it. Everybody knows kas is treif, right? Everybody knows that there are times that within the chinuch process that a person has to express in uncertain terms and in uncertain otzma how much he's unhappy with what somebody is doing.
Really?
Yeah. There's time when that's called for, like with children, for example. There's time when that's not called for, like wives, for example. But there is such a concept of kasaponim that has a certain particular role to play. The mistake that's made, very commonly mistake, very serious mistake, is to think is that what it means is to fake it. Since you're not allowed to really be angry, so you have to put on a show. Kasaponim means put on a show. So you have to go one thing straight. The one thing that the Torah never does, ever, is deal with sheker. Emes, Torah is emes, Chos Moshe Kodesh Baruch Hu is emes. We never deal with sheker. And we never, ever play let's pretend. That's for kids. We never pretend. The concept of doing something on a lower level or bring to a higher level, on an outside level to bring to an inner level, okay, always has to be real. And I'm not going to, we really do want to learn the Mishnah. I don't want to go too far off the subject. It's a very important concept to know how to be real on a lower level also. There are many people that have a capability of understanding the reality and importance of things that are on a high level. But something's not up to the high level that they heard about, saw about, dreamt about, thought about. It's nothing. And by doing that, they eliminate 90% of the possibility of growth. Because we were created with a goof as babies. You all are. Seriously, I have to quote my brother. I think he put it so beautifully. Because he was maybe, I don't know, 8 at the time. But I remember my mother yelled at him, "Why is he being like a baby?" And he says, "He can't help it. He was born that way." And the point of it, even though at the time it was just a good way to get out of things, but it's a very true thing. We were born babies. And the fact that the calendar keeps clicking, and by the process of the natural run-of-the-mill of going through life, there's a certain amount of maturity that takes place automatically almost. But it's not complete, the process. And there's even maybe in a certain way, a positive way, so everybody's a certain percentage still a baby. That's one of the things you have to work on. But we have a goof, and we live in Olam Hazeh, and we have to involved with a lot of very lowly things, like eating, and then whatever goes after you eat. And then the stomachache and the toothaches that come after you, like the sugars. And like making a panosa, and like sleeping, and like doctors, and like it doesn't end. And like if we can squeeze in here and there some high, really first class, pure ruchnius, those are like really, not so easy, not so natural, Neilam Hazeh. And that we've learned many times, that's not what it's all about. The Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba machine. And that's why little things, low-level things, the chitzonis things, may very well be the most important thing that counts. because that's what the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us. That's the stage he put us in. We didn't choose to be poor in this last of all generations, in this lowest of all generations. We didn't choose our life situation. We didn't choose to have such weak kliyos and nefesh and weak midas and weak yirshamayim. We were born into those situations. We were given these givens. Most of what we have were givens. Like the Gemara refers to the concept, it says, a melech gave over his avodim. We saw it, Rabbi Yoni brings it in the beginning. He brings a soda, and he told him he wants him to produce such pesakur. He said, Adini a melech, soda shenesat alonu zibur yesu. The soda that you gave us was highly poor quality. Very poor quality. So the Ben Yehuda said in his days, what are we going to say? It's Bekoshi Asada. They don't even have such standards. It's like, Yeah, but Afal Pekin, that's what we were given. We have to know our reality. And we have to know, more important is, that we can succeed 100% with that reality. So never, never fool yourself and thinking that this is not for real and it's only a means to the ends to get to the real. Okay? This is the real real. The schar of doing the real avodah shaloi lishmo is that you may be zoicha to learn Torah lishmo, which is almost the schar. It's almost unattainable on a person's own capabilities. But toi shaloi lishmo, that's the hard work. That's the avodah. Zoicha, and it can be loy mitoy lishmo. I don't mean that it's the only pshat in that chazal, or even necessarily the main pshat, but it's to understand the concept properly.
Kas aponim?
Kas aponim, we've heard this many times, you don't have to say it again. Kas aponim means to be real angry on the outside, and really not angry on the inside. That can be done, has to be done, everybody needs to learn how to do it. That's not the subject of my Rav Ashir, and we'll find a place to talk about it again. But the concept, what we have to very, very know, is that even though there are higher things in the world, the lower things very often are especially what counts. And chas v'sholem, to think that they're nothing, or that they are fake, or that they are just a tool to attain the higher, because then you've eliminated most of the process that the Bhagavan created for our success. Right? And if you don't really believe in the process, it's very difficult for a person to do it. Now, if a person, for example, let's take a woman preparing Shabbos, doesn't really feel that she's doing something important when she's peeling the potatoes for the chum, and the only, when she hears the davening on Shabbos, that Shabbos. But making chomp, that's nothing. Then I don't know how much Shabbos is going to be in that household. Because other Abba. The woman, when she prepares for Shabbos, she can bring in that famous spice, Shabbos Shmo, and put it into chomp that no goy can ever do. And I mean, men can't really do it either. Men can't really do it either. Maybe it's a Ashluchim of the woman only. This koyach of turning mamish daily basis, taking ruchnis, taking the most simple life potatoes and making Shabbos out of it. When a Yiddish woman prepares for Shabbos, what do they say? And it's in all languages. It says they're making Shabbos. That's right, that's what they're doing. They're creating Shabbos. They can do it on Tuesday afternoon. The man, for him to make Shabbos, he has to say Kiddush. She peels potatoes and does what the man does with saying Kiddush. She peels the potatoes and throws Shabbos into the show. On Tuesday afternoon, she's creating Shabbos in the world. So lowly is sometimes high. Lowly is most of the time high. Ikar Shechina B'tachtoinim is based on this Yisrael. The Mishnah has very, very special high qualities, places, good surroundings over there, and good Malach and Sof and Chayis HaKodesh. Ikar Shechina B'tachtoinim. The place where it's at, the Rebbeinu knows where to go. You know, he puts his place where it's really kedai to be. Ikar shechina b'tachtein. Ikar shechina b'tachtein. The kilkul is when the shechina has to be in Shemayim only. The tikkun is when the shechina could be ba'aretz. So you have to always have an in-depth understanding. That's what we've been working through all of these Mishnayos. It's very much connected to what we're learning in these Mishnayos. That Olam Hazeh is Olam Hazeh. Don't forget it. Don't think it's Olam Haba. Don't make tachas out of it. But Olam Haba will come out of that Olam Hazeh if used properly. Directly. It's not a steer. So we have to take all the lowly things and give them their due respect. That's probably what you meant to say in the first place. Sorry if I just said that. I'm not sure that's what you meant to say. And you're right. That really is a lot to do with what this concept we're learning over here of being Magdim Sholem L'chol Odom. The Rebbeinu Yehuda tells us V'hu Mederech HaMusar. What does he mean by that? What is he saying? So the first 17 times that I read it, oh, he's not saying anything. He's saying that that's a nice thing to do. So, we can skip that. He didn't say anything, right? Yeah, we know Pirkei Avos is Musa, right? It's like, you know, telling you how to be righteous and good and do everything positive and dumb things and negative. Right? Actually, I was wondering, I was thinking, I don't remember that he ever said that before. I think there's a lot of Musa here. We'll find a few other Mishnayos that we can consider Derech HaMusar. Think we could find one or two. And of all the Mishnayos, all the Pirkei Avos, the only place that he finds necessary to point that out, V'hevi Magdim Sholem L'chol Odom V'hu Mederech HaMusar. That's very short. It's very difficult to understand things that short. We have to start working. So we have no choice. We're going to have to start understanding the words. We have to start with Musar. And then Derech HaMusar. And then maybe we can understand the Hu Mederech HaMusar. Beirin explained exactly, I hope, I think, what it is that we didn't understand over here in his words. You didn't understand it. It's our problem. We didn't understand it. That's our problem. Imreiku Mimcho Urik. It's a very, Beirin does this to us, all the Rishayim, they do it to us all the time. Okay? They say it exactly what they mean. You don't want to understand it, it's your problem. You want to think they didn't say anything, it's your problem. That's what the Chazal Torah says. Imreiku Mimchem Urik. Read any word in Torah and nothing here. There's any. There's nothing there. You're nothing. Mimchem urek. Get your ears. You gotta get the ear doctor. Clear out the ears. You didn't hear. He says a whole Yisoid here. He's telling us. Mamish explaining exactly what we didn't understand. Now it's clear. So, you know, you have to fight. You have to fight with this reconnaissance. This is reconnaissance when you hear these words. And the Bamish didn't say anything to you. You don't believe me, huh? Check it out.
Sigur,
that's it. But who was that?
Nasi said, Matim Shalom necessitates a deeper.
That's the normal way of doing things. That's probably something, too. That's the Chatkhila they go in. V'hu Mederech HaMusar.
Okay,
that's a good question. There's a lot of discussion on the concept of the Torah concept of Musa. Musa is not a new concept. We saw Solanto didn't create it. Shlomo Melech talks about it, for example. Shema Bnei Musa Avicha. Right there in the beginning, Mishlei, half a Mishlei uses it. A lot of psukim on the word Musa. Musa is like a diamond. It has a lot of facets to it. And its beauty is when you have all the different facets together and the light shines on it, and then it sparkles. And when a person goes the derech hamusa, which means applying himself to that wheel that they shine up the diamonds with, to get those musa facets into his neshama, and then he starts shining too. So musa has many definitions, and what it really means is all of the above, and not just all the above, but and what we really mean is all that together. But musa is a very ploymtik concept, and there's all kinds of mashalim that are given by all kinds of people in understanding the power of musa, or the quality of musa, the job of musa. The Rishon Salanter says in one of his Mechtovim that to be a very good person, you could be without musa too. But to take chisroinus. What? To take chisronot, to take ra, and turn it into toiv, to take a person's lackings, his lowness, his oilam hazenis, his goofness, his everything that we've been talking about in this, and turn it into oilam avo, so to do that without musar is like asking to listen, to be able to hear without an ear. You don't have the organ, you don't have the tool. You have all these other nice things, great. You have eyes and you have a brain, and you have an earlobe. But if you don't have an inner ear, then that's not going to hear. But he's brilliant, great, but he doesn't have an ear. But he's a tzaddik, good, but he doesn't have an ear, he can't hear. That's the Rishon Salanter uses that moshel to give us the understanding of the uniqueness of the concept of Musa. Let's go a little bit into what Musa is, just a little bit, a few minutes. Yes, okay? No, sorry. So this is okay. When the time is at, you let me know. Yeah. What Musa, a little bit of the facets of Musa, see what we can do in order. So, the first most common shot in the Rishonim, and it's probably the first facet of Musa, and the one that we always like to skip. Musa's first thing is from Lashon of Beis HaAsurim. Musa is something that puts a person in some type of confinement, in their handcuffs. Odom Ki Yavolet. Baby, we talked about babies before, right? We're all babies. Big babies, little babies. We have all Adam Perakhi of all. That person is born a wild creature. Wildness means that he has tremendous koiches, but they are not confined to where they're constructive. They can go beyond the positive, break the barriers, and go into areas where they, even the koiches themselves could be positive, but they're not channeled properly. Then it's the same concept of all. And oh, we usually try to avoid that concept. We apply it to others. We're good at purical. Right? I mean, kabbal oh, any oh, is something we try to avoid whenever we can. Because we have this concept of we see this cow, right, that's being enslaved with this yoke on its neck and being forced by the yoke to pull the plow or whatever it is. And we think that it's something that's inflicted from the outside to strangle. Misuse. Take away from the person his quality. Take away from the person his freedom. And we all want to be free. We don't want to be enslaved. So the oh hits us somewhere, and we get this association with slavery, with being forced to do with what's not me. I'm being forced to do something. Not me. What's good for me. Not what's me. I'm forcing to do somebody else. The cow wants to eat grass, and I was having to plow a field. But this is a very dangerous mistake, because although in Perek Yevolei, man is born with unguided koyches. If you analyze the concept of a cow, sure, you'll see that it's an example of tremendous power. But without an ol, you have no need at all for that power in any positive way. To eat grass, you don't need so much power. You could be a little sheep for that. The essence of the shore is the brute strength that it has. And if it's not going to be harnessed for anything positive, it may end up being a shore mu'ud, and we'll have a couple of gemaras about it. But that's not positive. The shore, the koichos of the shore, in order for them to be brought out, in order for them to be expressed in a way that's worthy, and it's worth that it's its essence. And it shouldn't go to waste. It needs the assistance of a restricting force that will apply, direct, funnel, channel all the worlds that the koichos in a place where they can express themselves positively. We never forget that the worlds in conflict or in that we spoke about last time. There's another concept which is very, very important to us. Every person, every item in the world expresses in its essence Einoid Milvadai. How? Because there's only two possibilities. Either everything is all part of one big master, or everything stands on itself. There aren't any really other choices. It should be obvious, it's not, think about it. But I don't want to go into too much, but it's clear. I am either a whole entity that ends at my nose. The only reason why I don't end at my nose, and maybe that you and this and everybody is all Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, that the whole world and every ant and every cow and every sheep and every flower and everything that exists has any interrelationship one to the other, is only because there's some type of oneness in the whole operation. If we look into every essence that exists, we will see that if you will define its quality, if you will define its expression of itself, it will always express itself outside of itself. Ashur. How can the shur express its pure strength within the world of shur? It can't. A shur is never built to be just a shur, period. If a shur is a shur, period, it's zero. It's a shur amud, it's a mazik, it's one of the arba of Nezikin. When the shur becomes part of a process that includes man, then it's a whole different operation. Then it's part of bringing life into the world. It's part of bringing bread into the world. The interesting thing is that, of course, everything can be misused. If the master beats it to death and overworks it, but if he uses it properly, then the shore will be happy. The shore will prosper, being used. Everything gets its best quality, its best power, its best happiness when it's doing its thing. And when a shore plows a field, it is doing its thing. Man's quality, its first identifying quality is that he's a medaber. No, can you speak to yourself? Morel explains that if you're not speaking to somebody, then you're not speaking even if you're making a lot of noise. You can say a whole drasha in front of Parliament and you didn't speak. I know it doesn't matter what words you want to use to describe that activity, but it's not dibur.
You have a way in which to acquire
it.
Set aside.
Yeah.
So not necessarily anybody there.
That's nobody said that was dibur. That's machshava. Yigiyas HaTorah, borrowing the advantages of Sasayim. What do we call that, Dibur? It's Maral on that too. He explains what that concept is. But that's not Dibur. Over there he explains, don't make that mistake. When you talk to yourself, you get it clear. But it's not Dibur.
So it's Dibur.
Yeah. You can call it that.
Calling what?
Yeah, you can use that word. It's not exact, but it's good enough for now.
So, how does Kree, without calling, was talked to when he wasn't given, wasn't talked
to? Well, first of all, he spoke to the Bani Shalom. And Yochanami, lo itoiv yal levadai. That's one of the reasons. Not only that, the Gemara says in Yevamos, shoyi b'li Yishua, enu nikra odom. He wasn't called an Odom yet. Levado, a man, is a non-existent. We're going to try to keep... Musar is restriction, so we have to also try to keep that restriction. We're going to try to keep... Musar, the first concept of Musar, and this is one we don't like so much, and this is the reason why when somebody tells you Musar, there's sometimes a immediate negative reaction. Because Musar, by its foremost, number one quality, is expressing in some way, shape, or form, some type of control. Some types of restriction that's keeping you in line and doesn't let you get out of line. The first function of Musar is that the koichos that make up our qualities, without Musar, Olam, Peraki of Olam, man is born wild. And wild is not constructive. It can be very dangerous. It can be damaging. Musar takes those powerful kolchos, and instead of eliminating it, there are other ways you can do it. You can lock it up in jail. But then it can't be used positively either. So the first half of Musar is the restriction. The not allowing the peri-odom, the not allowing that wildness. Derech HaMusar, for our purposes, means that in order for a person to live in the world properly, to attain from Olam HaZeh to Olam HaBa, there are two drachim that he needs to combine. The main derech is the derech ha-Torah, Torah ikra derech, limud ha-Torah and kiyum ha-Torah. Torah is pure olam hazeh, direct olam hazeh, olam haba root. Keep the mitzvahs. Musar. Derech HaMusar is that keeps the Odom an Odom and therefore capable of walking in Derech HaTorah. A person can be Odom Perakei Avolei, he doesn't qualify to be a human being. When you see a person acting like that, he says, you know, you talk that way, everybody talks that way. It's not stopping an animal. Right? So, what kind of activity is that? What kind of acting? Right? A person can be wild. That's not what we mean by Odom. The Torah was only given, it only works for an Odom. The Torah can only take place can only be miskayim. Not malachim and not behemoths can be miskayim mitzvahs. The only ones who are mekable hatayra, getting close to that, right? Mekable hatayra and mekayim mitzvahs is only Odom. So Odom has the capability of doing this nais of turning Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba. The derech, the direct, the essence of the derech of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, that's Torah. The additional derech that we need is that guideline that keeps us geared to be an Odom and capable of walking down the derech of Torah. That's derech HaMusa. Now, derech HaMusa has its own rules. Derech HaTorah, to the most part, has a klal, is a given, and shovel l'chol nefesh. Everybody puts on tefillin in the morning. We don't ask you who you are, why you are, and what you're doing. You know what your problems are? Everybody puts on tefillin. But I'm a this, I'm a that. Put on tefillin. I don't care who you are. Put on tefillin. You know, everybody needs tefillin. Like if you start with timing and mitzvahs and you'll start saying that tefillin is more for this thing and I'm out of that thing and I'm a this type of person. Look, whatever type of person you are, you have to do all the mitzvahs. The ones that relate to your strong point and the ones that relate to your weak point. The ones that come naturally and the ones that don't come naturally. The ones that you're working on, the ones that you're not working on, the ones that you're up to, the ones you're not up to, and the ones that are blue and the ones that are green, it doesn't matter. Okay? All mitzvahs for everybody. All mitzvahs for everybody. Musa? Tell me where your peri is, and then I'll tell you where you need the musa. And very often it's in opposite directions. This person, where are you a peri? Where's your wildness? In which direction are you off balance? If you're off balance to the right, then you need restrictions. You need to be pushed in this direction. While as your friend may be off balance in that direction. So he needs a completely different approach. So the Derech HaMusa is harder to learn because it's individual. And it has to be developed constantly together with where a person is and what he's doing and who he is and where he's going. But no, it's a heksher relative to Torah.
Oh,
yeah, relative to Torah, it's a heksher. Right? Just like life is a heksher to Torah. But that's what it's all about. Yeah, Torah zeke. Torah zeke, vaday, vaday Torah zeke. But moser vaday. That's a lot of idealists. Youth or adults sometimes wonder why in yeshiva is there such an overemphasis in the limud haTorah, 14 hours a day, and limud haMusar, half an hour a day, plus a shmooze, maybe a vat, a shir. Seems to be the food of the neshama is Torah. The penicillin. Or the vitamin pills, that's Musa. Now, if a person is sick with a bad virus, he may not be able to eat food. And maybe the most important thing for right now for him is the penicillin. Doctor tell him, don't bother, the food come later, just drinks. But in the healthy state of affairs, so food is vade tayuzik. Lima Natoya, Kiyam Natoya, that's the Iker. That's the Iker Derech. That's the Iker Derech, that's the Iker Mitzius of turning Olam Zeh into Olam Haba. Derech HaMusa is what puts us in line of the Derech HaTorah. Makes us an Olam, so now we are fitting. A person. It says it's in a binyan in the place, and it says a similar thing in Chaim Vital, that midos. Chaim Vital talks about midos, binyan talks about musa. Are the heksher in mitzvahs, in many ways, but one way is that a person who has the mussa applied properly, the mitzvahs will come naturally. Torah was created, it fits much like a glove on an Odom. So if a person is an Odom, so Torah, oh, that's for me, that fits. Right? That comes natural. Right? If a person's a grapefruit or some other type of construction, I don't know exactly, you know, what it is exactly.
That's me serious, huh?
And then, yeah, you're going to have to be voice in there for sure, kind of Torah, because I don't even know if we can get it on before, but without it, it's at least a left shoe on the right foot. I mean, like that. Torah is always be'etzem. Torah is never in order to anything. Torah is self-defined, self-tachlis. It is the purpose in itself. And that's why the mitzvah is always more important than any time that you may know about it. It preempts it. Just like the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim existed before Mitzrayim was born, and certainly before Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. Okay. Now, it relates and connects and so forth. Right? Because these things are be'etzim, they're part of reality. The world was created according to that reality. It's the essence of reality. Torah is absolute essence. Okay. So it's never a means to an end, it is always the end. Musar is always a means. It's an ends in terms of that's how I know that I'm going to be properly, construct myself properly, exist properly, live properly, function properly, have my koyches channeled in a positive way. But these are two different set of rules completely. The rules of essence always start from the essence, and I have to apply myself to them. Here it is. Here's Torah. Right? If you're not there, find out how to get there. You'll probably have to go to Musa to find out. Right? But this is the way it is, folks. Right? Now get there. Figure out how to do that. Here, this is Mitzvah's Tefillin. Do it. Right? You don't have it? Go figure out how to do it. This is Mitzvah's, what all the Mitzvahs. Right? This is Limud Torah. Same thing in Limud HaTorah. The Gemara tells you a svara. It happens to us like 5 times a day. Right? If you would have asked me, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said just the opposite. Right? Well, that's not going to change. This is the way it is, folks. Right? If you can get your head to understand that, then you say you understand. And if you can't, say you don't understand. Right? But that, don't change this. This is the way it is. This is the absolute truth. You have to know how to figure it out. You have to understand it properly according to the rules of Limata. Musa, it's not that way. Since it's an ends to a means, there is, within there are rules to Musa too, but there is proper use of the concepts of the ends justifying the means in Musa. There are also rules, not have to. But there is, possibility to do things that in absolute terms wouldn't be exactly what, but because, of course, there's no Isurim involved, right? But if an absolute approach, and the approach of Derech HaTorah, you wouldn't be doing those things. But the reason why we're going outside of what L'chaya, what absolutely should be, is because Musa calls for it. Let me give some examples. The Gemara says, if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, Beinon L'chaveira, more about Mitzia, and one of them is a more pressing mitzvah than the other, but it happens to be one that's less pressing, the Chaveira, that's issue, is your Soine. So the Gemara tells us that you should do that first. This is a Derech Musa concept. Because you have more breaking of the Yetzirah in there. You have more breaking of the Yetzirah. You're accomplishing more. So you have to do that first. This is not the greatest example because this is already where Moshe and Halacha have a meeting point. This is already partially Halacha. But Halacha Shuv for our discussion is an example.
Halacha is not involved in the breaking of the Yetzirah.
I didn't want to get any, we're talking, over there it's a halacha, we're learning from, but that's an example of what the concept of Derech HaMusar means. When the Bnei Yonah tells us here, V'hum B'Derech HaMusar, is he teaching us that it's because of Derech HaMusar that we do this. Lafuki B'Derech HaTorah. In other words, in the world of absolutes, we wouldn't do this. In the world of Ha'odom with his problems that he has to keep under control, that's why we do it. So now we, for example, he's just taking care of completely the problem of saying Sholem to Rishoyim. Ain Sholem Rishoyim Om Hashem Tzvokos. Yeah, in the world of Hashem Tzvokos, of absolute reality, so Ain Sholem Rishoyim. As far as the Rosh is concerned, the absolute essence of the relationship that's deserving to be done, how you relate to a Rosh, Ain Sholem Rishoyim. But that's only as much as absolute is the primary necessity of how we should relate at the moment. There are times we have a right to have our own benefit come first. And for the Derech HaMusar quality of what we're going to gain out of it, we're allowed the Derech HaMusar to be Magdim Sholem even to our Rosh. It is so important that we should grow, that we should form our personalities to be a wellspring of Sholem in the world. Right of Sholem, Oy of Sholem, Right of Sholem. That we're given a heter al derech hamusar to take it to the extreme. No limits. Call all of them. The Derech HaTorah, there are never extremes. The Derech HaTorah is always the Derech HaMelech, the Derech HaEmsois. Extremes are always outside of the range of Derech HaTorah. There's a famous Rambam, Mishmaya Prokham, and Hilchos Deis. Extremism is always negative, in absolute terms. The absolute terms of everything is harmony and balance, and everything is good in its proper place, proper amount, proper balance. Anything out of balance is a negative. Al derech haTorah never extremes. Al derech haMusar, very often that's dafka the way to go. That if you're over, like the Rambam says, so foolish, if you're over to one extreme, and the way to get back on the proper paths is go to the other extreme.
What was the sickness?
We're talking about the sickness of Pirud. The sickness of all sicknesses is that man should see himself as a intrinsic entity. I think we spoke about that. This is the sickness of all sicknesses. This is the worst of Avodah Zarah that exists. El Zor Asher B'Kirvichem. This is the capability that not only the big giants like Paro are capable of making a public announcement that they're gods, but us little guys in our little worlds, in our own world, we also can sometimes fall into the thing that we're God. That we're God. Who thinks we're God? Paro didn't think he was God. Paro thinks that he was the equivalent of God. Paro thinks that he was the replacement for God. He was the one who was, he is the center of the universe. He's in control. God created it and gave it over to me. That's what Paro said. We said the same thing. God created me and gave me over to me. Right? And now what's important to me is me. So as far as what you're concerned, you're here to the degree, in my world, you're here to whatever degree you relate to me. Which usually means for my benefit. Because what else are you doing here for if not for my benefit? So the basic essence, and this is a natural tendency that we have to really work against, as long as a person is in the Anoichi, negative Anoichi, when he said, not Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, but Anoichi Ani, I am the center of the world, then his Sholem Aleichem, unspoken Sholem Aleichem, to anybody that comes within his Dalet Amish, is, how do I eat him? Eat it from the head, from the... what benefit is, what am I going to get? Am I going to get covered out of him? Am I going to get money out of him? Am I going to get a nice word out of him? Am I going to get a pleasant experience with him? Right. What do I have from him? Because what's important is me. When a person sees the world, not even so low, a little bigger than that, but the same case, the concept, just on everything. But when he sees it disjointed, he says, you know what? Americans are too low to be really anochi. They're so involved in anything goes that even I can be nothing also doesn't matter. I'm okay, you're okay, I'm nothing to you, you're nothing to me. I won't bother you, you don't bother me. No. The concept of total unimportance, total unrelated. And then I can even be nice. Why not be nice? It's more pleasant. This is Achashverosh concept. It's more pleasant to make parties than it is to fight. So let's be nice. Let's drink. Why not drink? I mean, what do I have to fight for? Let's drink. It's more pleasant. Why not? So people can be, instead of, usually when you think of selfish person in the terms of the first category, so usually he's an extremely negative, damaging, and ugly personality. Okay? That's one form. I'm not sure which one's worse, but there's another form. Right? He can be the nicest guy in the world. He can do favors for everybody. But everything's disjointed. Right? Each thing is a thing on its own. And he doesn't, no world in collision, no friction. He's against friction. He wants everything to go smooth. The main thing is that there shouldn't be any, you don't bother me, I won't bother you. Do your own thing. This is like an American kind of concept. You don't bother me, I don't have anything to do with you, you don't have to do anything to me, I'm not you, you're not me. And so why not get along fine? Don't even we have to fight. The other guy maybe will say, yeah, let's fight, because you're getting in my territory. And it's the same guy will be one day this day, nicely years, he was best friend. And when he finally feels that you're invading his territory, he'll knife you in one way or the other. What happened? Right? There's no connection. So as long as the ping pong game went along in a way that no friction, everybody's happy. You really invaded my territory? I can't spit you out of my world? Right, you invading? I'll cut you out. I'll dance on you. Whatever I have to do. You're getting in my way. It didn't work out the way. Mr. Nice Guy died. But what happened? You were such a bald meat, isn't it? The same disconnected. We're seeing a higher or broader picture over here. Everybody, selfishness is an internationally known concept. Some people are for it, some people are against it, but it's a known concept. Selfishness is pretty well known as a pretty negative thing. Okay. There's a higher form, or a lower form, call it whatever you want, a darker form, a deeper form. Right. It's not necessarily in the form of selfishness, but it's an identity of self as a separate entity. And then it can even come in very nice forms. But there's no connection. I'm me, you. The Torah teaches us, that all of the world is one entity. Ad sheyizgala in oid milvadi. Kulom b'nei ish echad nach. The Derech HaMusa, the Ben Yonah teaches us, is Mechayiv. Since the natural tendency is for a person to live in the world of being disconnected, disjointed, a person has to be always, constantly, Al Derech HaMusa, of forcing himself, pushing himself, controlling himself in the direction of connections. The direction of seeing that all the world is one reality. That all the world has a place. It's all part of the Bnei Hashem's master plan. Ain Sholem Rishonim in terms of absolute. Omer Hashem Tzvokos. Avo Al Derech HaMusar Havi Magdim Sholem L'chol Olam. Just to complete the picture, maybe that'll be enough for today. Just, what about the lady in Mitzrayim? She was going around saying shalom to everybody. Mishnah. Right? Where was her mistake? Why did she end up where she ended up? She got confused between Derech HaMusar and Derech HaTorah. She wasn't doing it as a Derech HaMusar, recognizing that it's only because of Derech HaMusar I'm doing this. She wanted to be good with everybody. She didn't see the differences between a Jew and a Goy. She didn't see the difference between the Yid, her husband, who was being beat up by this same Goy that she was saying, "Why are you being nice to? He's beating up your husband." Musar, yes, is allowed to have, according to the rules, right, to do ends justify the means. But it can never become an ends in itself. When she became a populist, or whatever they call these people nowadays, "We got to be nice to everybody. Let's get along with the Arabs." Right? Shalom Akshav. She was the first Shalom Akshav. Make peace with the enemy. She took it for real. She meant it serious. She thought that she didn't know the difference between being nice to your neighbor and being nice to the girl who was beating up her husband. It's all a little confused over there. The reason why the goy was beating up her husband is because, I don't know exactly why. Probably because there wasn't enough food in Gaza or something, right? It's because they were inflicted or something. It's poor mitzvah. Because the Jews were taking over the country because they weren't relating nicely. They were separatists. They were loishinu et shmom, balbusha. It would be nice, like her, and go around and say, "How are you doing?" Being friendly with everybody. So we saw what it ended up. Derech HaMusar, yeah. And that's why the Bnei Yona teaches us, V'hu b'derech HaMusar. Do it. But no, here, he doesn't have to, he's not telling you this is a nice thing to do. Right. He's telling us that here, this is Derech HaMusar. The reason why you have to do this is because Derech HaMusar. He who was in charge, this Tana who was in charge of the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the Roman Emperor, okay, he was saying that there's a Derech HaMusar of how we relate to this. There are times when Yaakov bows down to Esau. Okay. But Chas v'Sholem, for a moment, he forgets that Yaakov is the Iker and Esau is an Eved for Yaakov. So why are you bowing down to if you're the Yod and he's the Eved? As b'shoyim b'shoshas shomas seches lo, so you play along. So you have to give it; it's just due. You have to play according to the rules. So even Yaakov Avinu bowed down to Esau.
And what are you punishing for?
Yeah.
So
because Yaakov Avinu was a derech hater, exactly. Yaakov Avinu was the b'mur hater, and that was the taina that he shouldn't have gone. He should have gone with the absolute emes to the end. And then he would have won that way too. Here he went with a proper Derech HaMusar. He could have gone with a pure Derech HaTorah. What's that?
Is Tani the Derech HaMusar?
Yeah, that's what the Bnei Yona says. V'hu m'Derech HaMusar. That's exactly what he says. Now here he's saying that a little bit. He's saying an awful lot.
It's not always good.
It means that it has to be done this way. You know, the importance of it. Doesn't mean now you become a humanist. Right? Now you know, be the same friend with the shochin, the tzaddik, and the shochin, the rasha. Chas v'sholem. It doesn't say heavy shochin or rishoyim. It's an exact shalom aleichem, that yeah. And then go the other way. Didn't say become a business partner with the goy. Didn't say live next door to him. Doesn't say make him your best friend.
If you're doing it only for your own Derech HaMusar, aren't you thereby using this other person as an object?
Yeah.
As your motive?
Yeah, you can do that.
That itself is an aspect of pure.
No, you can do that when it's the only. Let's just make me finish that idea. Why is this proper? I, like you're saying, I'm using him. The only reason why it's proper is because it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'll explain. What am I doing? I'm being involved in Sholem. What's the concept of Sholem? That all of the world comes to the Rabbanu Sholem. Why do I relate that even to a Rosha? Because in its broadest form, the Rishonim are also part of the Rabbanu Sholem master plan. They were created to be used by the Tzaddikim, right, to show the difference between the Derech HaOr and the Derech HaChoshech. So what is the proper use for a Rosha? To be used by a Tzaddik. Either be used in one way or used the other way. Used to be inflicted by him when that's necessary. The Mitzvim, if they would have recognized their role, right, so there would be an emes, that they were playing a positive role in the Baruch Hashem's plan of being Mekayim, the Nevuah, right, of Geri Azarecha. So to that point, they were doing a positive role of inflicting. And there are times when the Klai Yisrael is Zaycha, that would be the positive role in the really best way, when the Rosha is Tachas Shilton, when the Ra is Tachas Shilton HaToyf, when the Ra is in its battle with Nei HaToyf. So Echonami Vadai, but Derech HaMusa, Derech HaMusa doesn't mean Mr. Nice Guy. Sometimes I can go use the other person. Yeah. Really, for his own good, as much as he's a Rosha, he deserves to get kicked. Deserves to get spit at. Mm-hmm. But I am using him in my Avodah, and having Magdim Sholem L'chol Odom, recognizing that he also is part of the Baruch Hashem's creation. What's his role? To be Ra. And Soiful Shod Ra, like I'm like I'm talking to Adi Oyved. His final tachlis is to be eliminated. Or, if he's a Yid, to eliminate the Resha, and he should turn into a Tzaddik. Or, like it says on the Goyim, Adi Oyved. Those that can't be turned into Tzaddikim, that they should be eliminated. So Vada, I'm using him. Me'achut, cold-bloodedly. 100%, that's exactly what I intend to do. And I'm doing it al Derech HaMusa. No. It doesn't say here to become a Yidid with a Rosha. You magdim sholoim, the whole Odom, even a Rosha, even a Goy, because you're recognizing that they are also a valuable part of the Rabbanu Shalom's master plan. What we spoke before, we were talking about Sholem Bein Yisrael, Sholem in its proper form. Now I'm expressing it. We're trying to understand the idea of the Kol Odom. Right? Even though that goes beyond the regular rules, goes beyond, it's an extreme. Right? So I hope that we have a little bit of understanding about the Kol Odom. I think we'll have to leave the Magdim for next week.